So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
It has to be one of the longest running memes that we've had here in the sports bar since we came on the air 9 years ago. I remember, I think day one we maybe said, Jerry Jones is the real commissioner of the NFL. I mean, we say it tongue in cheek. But there's a great book that's out now by Ken Belson, who's joining us now in the sports book. Every Day is Sunday, How Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, and Roger Goodell Turned the NFL into a Cultural and Economic Juggernaut. Ken, thank you for making time for us. Real excited to dig into this book and talk about it, because I think if you're a fan of the NFL, it is kind of marvelous to just stand back and see what it is now versus what it was for so much of our lives. Welcome into the sports bar.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Ken, we think of these NFL owners today, like Jones, like Kraft, they're all pushing the envelope, or seemingly so, right? But prior to these guys, Jones and Kraft, arriving on the scene, how would you describe NFL ownership in that era right before free agency started?
Yeah, that's exactly the jumping off point for the book and why I chose it. Because up until that time, you still had a lot of multi-generational owners, the Rooneys, the Maras, the Hallis family, McCaskies, they were more the dominant force in the league. And then you had a lot of owners who were really not cash rich. Al Davis out in Oakland, Mike Brown in Cincinnati. These were kind of hardcore guys that were really opposed to free agency. And their mindset was football on Sundays at 1 o'clock. God bless them, right? But the reality is it was a business. And so the reason I chose Jerry and Robert Kraft as sort of the two pillars of this expansion is they both paid record amounts for their club. They both went heavily in debt for their club. And they were both very entrepreneurial before they ever came to the league. And so they had big motivations to pay off their debts, basically, to find new sources of revenue. And Jerry is just relentless in that and, you know, has been sued over it. He's gone so far. But both of them are very creative at developing new stadiums, and particularly developing relationships with the media companies that really, frankly, pay the bills in the NFL.
All right, so let's talk about those media companies, because in the NFL, moving one of its broadcast rights deals from CBS to Fox was a big deal. I'm curious about what that meant to the growth of the league and how big a part of that Jerry Jones was actually.
Yeah, it was a tectonic shift. Jerry shows up in 1989. He quickly gets involved in league business, and one of the areas was media. And there was this guy named Rupert Murdoch who had twice tried to get into the club, but he had no sports network. I mean, there was no Fox Sports back then. But it was Jerry Jones who looked around and said, wait a second, we've got three packages, AFC, NFC, and Monday Night Football, and we have three bidders, the same three guys every time, NBC, CBS, and ABC. And Jerry said, well, what kind of business is that? Why don't we get a bid, an auction going? So he invites Rupert to the table, and Rupert is trying to, you know, if you think back then, Fox was really what? Bart Simpson and in living color. It was nothing. It had no footprint, had a couple of big metro stations, and then really was nowhere on the dial in most cities. So he needed to make a splash. He needed a nationwide network. And how do you do that? You get football. So he blew CBS out of the water. And this was a seminal moment, not just for the NFL, but for all the leagues, because now there was a network that was willing not to break even on sports, but to lose money as a loss leader just to get viewers. And that changed the dynamic. David Stern at the NBA saw this, MLB saw this, and suddenly they're bringing more and more networks to the table to bid for sports packages. And the growth in media has never slowed since then.
Jerry Jones, such a fascinating character, right? I'm glad you chose him. Reading the chapter on Jones, I think one of the funnier moments is you go on this tour of the new stadium. I want to go on this tour when you're greeted by Hologram Jerry, where fans get to ask Hologram Jerry a question. But that doesn't tell you where things are at right now, that these owners are celebrities. My question for you, Ken, is, you've talked to Jerry. Does winning really matter to Jerry, or is his primary motivation just building this brand?
It's both. And I will say, these owners do live and die, most owners, I don't know all of them, but many of the owners really do live and die by their teams. Jerry more than most. I mean, he played the game at a high level in college. He was a national champion years and years ago. He understands the game. I don't think he's a particularly good GM. I think most Cowboys fans would tell you that. But that's his own sort of hubris, his own ego. He the title of that chapter you mentioned is I like to stick that Cowboys peanut butter on everything. You know, he finds money where there was nobody knew to look. And that's one of his geniuses. Carmen Policy, the former president of the Niners, he said, Jerry taught us how to make money. And that's really been his strength. He often goes too far with it, of course, including that $65 owner's tour I took at AT&T Stadium. So he knows all publicity is good publicity. Even when you hate Jerry, he's still talking about the Cowboys. But he also hates it on Sundays when the team loses. Having said all of that, he is the only owner in the NFL and maybe in most any pro sports league that goes down to the locker room and talks to the media after every single game, win or lose. And he can be pretty feisty when they lose, but he still goes down there and answers for his team. You do not see that in any other sport.
Ken Belson is the author of Every Day is Sunday. We're talking about how Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, and Roger Goodell turned the NFL as we knew it to the NFL as we know it. And Ken, following Jerry Jones, you had Robert Kraft in New England. So what did Kraft learn from Jones? Because you tell the story in the book of how Kraft wanted to make sure, and this goes to the celebrity of being an NFL owner, Kraft wants to make sure that when his team is playing at home, you know, he's got to be on TV.
Yeah, they're very different. They both crave the camera, but in different ways. One of the TV producers told me that, Jerry knows he's going to be on TV, partly because he is the GM also. In the same way, I was watching a game the other day with the Niners and they showed John Lynch, the GM there. Most owners actually don't want to be on TV. And a couple of owners actually tell the networks, don't show me. I'm good, you know. But Jerry is there because Jerry's part of the circus, right? Robert actually keeps tabs, and he did say to one producer after a game the next day, he said, how come you didn't show me? And it turned out it was raining that night, and it was glare on the glass of the booth and everything. And he actually asked the producer, can I get some new glass that's shine-free? So, look, all these guys have egos at some level. I think the dynamic has changed over the years. I mentioned Al Davis, Art Modell. Those guys were part salesmen. They came up in the advertising world. You know, they knew that businesses were so much smaller back then. But the new era of owners, you know, Terry Pegula is one of them up where you are. They're not really that interested in being in the media. So Jerry and Robert are kind of the last of their type who are the face of their organizations.
Okay, I have Pegula on the list here. And you do mention Terry Pegula a few times in the book. I mean, where does he fit into the hierarchy of NFL ownership today?
Well, it's you know, there's 32 owners. I'll include the Packers in that. You know, about 12 of them, give or take, are actively involved in committees, league business, helping negotiate new sponsorship deals, bringing new business to the table. Terry's not in that group. He's not one of the more active when it comes to league business. It's not to say he doesn't take part. All the owners are on certain committees. But really, you're talking about Robert and Jerry, Shad Khan, Clark Hunt, Rooney in Pittsburgh, Jeffrey Lurie to a certain extent in Philly, and John Mara especially. So, and Jed York out in San Francisco comes to mind. So there's about a 10 to a dozen that are really doing a lot of the lion's share of committee work. Terry is probably somewhere in the middle. He's pretty closely aligned with Jerry. I would put that group, if I had to put a label on it, I'd say it's kind of a faster growth group. Terry probably, you know, has to pay off his stadium now, so he's looking for new money too. And they did sell a slice to private equity. So I say Terry's in that middle group. And then there's a third group that really you don't even see much. Jody Allen out in Seattle, for instance. I mean, she's sort of invisible, right? Gail Benson's sort of involved in New Orleans, but not really. So, you know, you have a lot of owners that are kind of get along folks. So Terry's probably somewhere in the middle on that spectrum.
All right. So the guy that's tasked with protecting the shield is Roger Goodell. And under Goodell, this league has moved in and out of controversies, maybe nothing bigger than the concussion lawsuit and following settlement. And that obviously wasn't enough to derail the league. How were they able to get past that serious issue, all of the negative press and the financial commitment to settling for that concussion case?
Yeah, that's one of the sort of, for lack of a better word, business lessons I took away from the book. And if your listeners, if they're not necessarily sports fans, but business, you know, interested in how businesses work, the NFL kind of provided a roadmap there, not just with concussions, but the Ray Rice domestic abuse affair and the way they navigated through the player protests that were started by Colin Kaepernick. Basically, the league is run by lawyers and marketing people. The lawyers mitigate risk, you know, in the courts. And in the concussion case, there was a huge settlement. It was a sort of landmark settlement. They've since paid out $1.5 billion to retired players. And that offered a kind of, for lack of a better word, closure. There's legal peace. You basically can't sue the league now for concussion. So they ended that chapter. And then really the interesting part, and this that chapter really delves into it, is how they tried to change the narrative. And the league is very adept, and this is where I say they're run by marketing people, at trying to find a way to get people to get back to pay attention to games. And so there was a very deliberate attempt starting around 2010 to say, let's not fight with the media about whether this happened or didn't happen. Let's talk about quote-unquote solutions, safer helmets, neurologists on the sidelines, return to play protocols, all of which at various points have been, you know, or in some cases window dressing. I mean, you look at what happened to Tua a couple of years ago where he was put back in. There's definitely rough spots, but the league tried to make the game at least appear safer. And I know from speaking to many parents, that has worked. I mean, parents believe that their coaches now are better trained to spot concussions and things like that. At the end of the day, look, it's a high-speed collision sport. You're never going to eliminate all these injuries and potential long-term damage. You look what happened to Damar Hamlin. I mean, it's a violent game. There's no doubt about it. But the league has tried to change the narrative, and by and large, certainly most media have moved on from this story too. And you know, it's now just part of the fabric of the NFL.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ken, a couple more. Tonight, we've got Thursday Night Football on Amazon, and we have another London game on Sunday. We have three Christmas Day games on a platform that didn't exist only a few years ago. Where does the NFL go from here in terms of growth? What do you think could be next?
Yeah, it's one of the big questions they're asking themselves is, you know, at what point do we spread too thin? Where are we going to get saturated, right? You know, there is no Wednesday night football yet. In fact, I remember during COVID, there was a Steelers-Ravens game, like a makeup game, and it felt like bonus. You know, I felt like I was playing hooky or something in school. But I don't think they want to get that far along. There is something they've really benefited from this scarcity, right? This sort of drama from, you know, Monday to Sunday, and here we are. I heard your intro. You know, here we are at week seven. You know, there's a lot of drama to not playing every day, and I don't think they want to bleed too much into that. At the same time, they know where their future revenue growth comes from, and that's the Amazon, Netflix, and, you know, the digital folks, Google, YouTube. So they're tiptoeing into streaming land, as it were, and trying not to alienate their longtime viewers who don't necessarily want to buy a streaming package. So it's a tiptoe, I will say. The other thing that's going to change, you mentioned in the London game, there's going to be more games overseas. And, you know, speaking of a bonus now, people can wake up at 9:30 and watch a little football on Sundays on the East Coast. There's going to be many more games in the future. I think they're up to six this year. We're going to get to about 16 by the end of the decade. And so you're going to see different cities in the mix and things like that. Some fans won't like it, you know, it might diminish a home game. You know, they might lose a home game. But again, that's where the future growth is.
Ken, who's next? Who's got next as far as NFL owners that will push the envelope, that'll continue to grow the brand? Jones and Kraft are both octogenarians now, and maybe the answer is as simple as the sons of Jones and Kraft will be next. But did your research for this book come across anybody interesting that could be next in terms of pushing that narrative forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Stephen Jones and his sister Charlotte in Dallas and Jonathan Kraft in New England very much will be in charge and are, I mean, they've spent their entire adult lives working with their dads. It's not like they don't know. This isn't going to start from zero. But I think the new, quote-unquote, generation of owners bring sort of different sensibilities to the table. Josh Harris in Washington has made billions in the private equity world before he got here and also owns a basketball team and a hockey team. So he's a very kind of seasoned new owner. Greg Penner and the Walton family in Denver, they bought the Broncos a few years back, also very involved. Both of them were involved, along with Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland, in adopting new rules to take money from private equity firms. So I think those three are ones to look at. Also, I would say Clark Hunt, very quiet but and very conservative financially. He's kind of like the accountant in the family, you know. He's not going to blow your money at the casino. And I think Roger Goodell leans on him to be kind of the sober, serious one in the room sometimes when attempts to make money elsewhere. You know, you can count on Clark to do his due diligence.
One last one. What is it like to sit down and go one-on-one with Jerry Jones? Is that the individual we see on television in front of press conferences? Is he trying to win you over? What is that dynamic like, Ken?
Yeah, Jerry's one of a kind. He's still got that charm. He's got these icy blue eyes. He's got this smile. And it's funny, I'll tell you a little anecdote. The book was narrated, the audio book was narrated by a friend of mine, Mark Lynn Baker. And he was reading the script and he called me and said, is this script right? There seem to be some typos in here. This doesn't make any sense. I said, no, that's how Jerry talks. He can't finish a sentence before he starts another one. So I was sitting in his office a few years ago, and in his old headquarters, and he's talking up a storm about the Los Angeles sweepstakes, which team's going to go out there. And boy, I was struggling. Like, where am I going to get a full sentence of a quote here, you know? And then we the interview ends, and we walk out in the hallway, and he turns to me and says, you just clean that up for me, will you? So he knows who he is. He's not afraid to just be Jerry Jones. And you know, God bless him as a reporter. We'll miss him when he's gone, because he is what you see. He's a charmer.
Ken, fantastic work. Congratulations on the book. If you're an NFL fan, I know I am. We're all going to be checking it out. Every Day is Sunday, How Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, and Roger Goodell Turned the NFL into a Cultural and Economic Juggernaut. It's been an absolute treat having you on with us here in the Sports Bar, Ken. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ken.
There's Ken Belson. He is the author of Every Day is Sunday. Man, when you think about what the NFL was when we were growing up, we were kids. Mm-hmm. I remember the Fox deal is funny, because I remember Fox being this fledgling network that nobody watched, because he's right. It was living color, married with children, and The Simpsons.
Their markets, Dallas included, Dallas, Atlanta, Phoenix, you didn't have Fox affiliates.
Yeah.
And like, okay. And then all of a sudden, hey, we've got football, and it's like a land grab at that point. Like, Fox here was a little WUHF, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, and then they get Summer All of Madden calling their games, yep. And now it's on, right? When they started poaching guys from CBS, the guys CBS guys went to Fox because CBS was gone there for a little bit. Oh, man.
He goes into this, too, and you forget about it now. Like, there were a lot of people that hated what they called at the time the Fox box. You're kidding, right? We don't want to see the score.
The score bug.
Yeah, the score bug. Like, that's how it was back then. Here's the game, and you'll have to wait for us to tell you the score. Like, why? Or you would have to wait to get other scores. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how much we've changed, how our tolerance has changed. You got scrolling scores. You've got instant updates. You now it's an expectation. You need to know who scored when.
So
immediately.
The thing, now I have to do this when I go to Dallas. And he says it's $65. I have to see this. And I don't know how people haven't heard about this before. There are two types of tours when you go to AT&T Stadium in Dallas. There's just the normal one. But you can go on the owner's tour. Just like the VIP tour, where, okay, do you want to see where Jerry gets to sit, and I'll walk you through Jerry's box or whatever it is. But before you get to that, you sit in a room and hologram Jerry welcomes you, and you can ask hologram Jerry any question you would like, and hologram Jerry is going to give you some sort of AI answer. We made a joke about that about Boeheim.
I'm going to ask a question. Are we sure that Jerry isn't a hologram all the time?
Well, yeah, come on. Yeah, you know, Mike Danger, why would you ask a question like that?
He might be a hologram right now. That just might be Jerry. He may have passed years ago. That just might be Jerry. Jerry is a hologram. It's the hologram of Jerry Jones when he's in the sideline, or when he's taking those when he's doing those interviews with the media after a loss. That's not Jerry Jones. That's the hologram of Jerry Jones. That's amazing. But such a fascinating topic. And he's right. Like, and we say it all the time. The NFL is run by lawyers and marketers. So they know how to stay out of trouble, and they know how to shift the messaging in their favor.
There is one part of the book, Danger, where, okay, I got to see what is about Pegula, right? This is the one part. And we asked him the question. He didn't go here, but he said, hey, he's not in these committees. And I'm wondering if that wasn't always true. They go over the story.
Kim was.
Terry is in the room when this is the first time around for Trump and Kaepernick. And then, okay, we've got this big PR issue. And Terry just says some cringy things that Anquan Boldin is in the room. And it was so cringy that people just didn't acknowledge it, and they kind of moved on. So, like, at that point, Terry doesn't really speak up in meetings.
Yeah. which is probably a good thing for everybody involved. But for anybody that has a problem with the "it takes all of us" messaging or the "stop racism" messaging, like, look, blame 2016 for that. Blame Colin Kaepernick. That messaging exists to remind everybody that the NFL really isn't racist. The NFL really is patriotic. We'll do a salute to service every year because we love our country. We love our troops.
It was McCain who pointed out, like, wait a second, we're paying for this.
That's right.
Do you really love this or you're just taking money?
That's like, right. Yeah. They are. They absolutely are. Salute to service has got plenty of sponsors. The NFL is making money off of salute to service.
You know, that camel Bills hat that you're wearing. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Somebody paid for that.
No, brilliant stuff. Really appreciate Ken making some time for us. We invite you to check out his book, Every Day is Sunday. Fun read if you're an NFL fan. Next hour, we get into fantasy football. Andy Behrens, the deep shot. Week 7 kicks off tonight on Prime with the Bengals and Joe Flacco hosting Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, a matchup of 2 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks.
There's another question I want to ask Andy, and I learned this listening to Eisen today. Do you know the Rams haven't left yet?
They're still in London?
No. The Rams are here.
Oh, they're in London. They haven't left yet.
They're arriving Saturday morning.
Yikes.
Now, that's like what we said for the Bills, like about banking sleep and blah, 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 blah. That's a new approach. And either it's going to work and McVay will look genius, or are the Rams just like, yeah, you know what? We're just throwing this game away. Whatever at this point, it's a long year. I don't know the answer to that, but get Andy's thoughts on what do you do if you have Rams in your fantasy team?
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it plays off for him. Andy Behrens from The Deep Shot joins us in the 4 o'clock hour. Your calls are always welcome at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. Let's take caller 5 now at 866-4FAN. For a free pair of tickets to go to the Haunted Hayrides of Greater Rochester and Williamson. This is Rochester's premier Halloween attraction. Go out with the family, go out with the kids, enjoy the beer garden. They got a lot of great stuff out there in Williamson at the Haunted Hayrides of Greater Rochester. Free tickets now if you call or 5 at 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford, and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.